Chapter 4. Lieutenant Cassian moved along a roadway between crumbling ruins, bolt rifle sweeping for targets. His strike force was spread through the streets to either side. Intercessors and hellblasters jogged from one firing position to the next, stopping to cover their battle brothers. Aggressors stomped through rubble and ruin, ready to bring point-blank annihilation to anyone that stood in their way. Palandras and Thadian's Inceptors had the flanks, while on high, the Reavers of Squad Markers could be glimpsed as they used grapnel guns to swing from one vantage point to the next, keeping watch for threats. The Strike Force's infantry was supported by a pair of Redemptor dreadnoughts, Brother Indomitor and Brother Marius, who strode along in their midst. 15 feet tall bipedal war engines, each dreadnought was built around an armoured sarcophagus containing the still living remains of a mortally wounded battle brother who piloted his walking tomb as though it were his own body. Cassian's force was completed by a trio of repulsor battle tanks, which he had placed at the forefront, an armoured spearhead to drive their attack home. The repulsors were slab-sided war machines, bristling with heavy firepower, hovering several feet off the ground on thrumming grav fields that would crush and pummel anything they passed over, be it rubble, wreckage, or enemies.
"Chaplain Demetris," voxed Cassian. "No resistance yet," replied Demetris from his position one street over. "The enemy clearly lack fortitude, or else they would come under posers. If there is one thing the Death Guard do not lack, it is fortitude," said Keratreus from his position elsewhere on the line. "We are making good progress, but we should remain cautious."
"The foe should not be underestimated," agreed Cassian. "But we captured our beachhead with virtually no casualties, and we still have the element of surprise. With luck, we will reach our objective before they can rally more than token forces against us."
"We also have the Primarch's sword," added Demetris.
"Shipmaster Aether has enough weapon systems working to provide a substantial planetary bombardment, should it be required.
The tainted atmospherics render all spec scans unreliable," said Keratreus. "We do not know for sure where our enemies are. We have only ghost returns."
"What do you counsel?" asked Cassian.
"We slow our advance. We use the Reavers to scout the path ahead. If we cannot rely on the senses of our machine spirits, then we must instead rely upon our own."
"An excess of caution," said Demetris. "Surprise is an advantage that lasts only so long. Everything we know of the Death Guard suggests that they are predominantly an infantry force, exceptionally resilient and deadly in close-range firefights, but ponderous. If we give them time to respond, the situation will deteriorate rapidly."
"Lieutenant, I cannot agree," said Keratreus. "The enemy has been here for weeks. With the Auspex so unreliable, we have no way of knowing where their forces might be massed. And they are still space marines, let us not forget. I believe it would be a grave error to rush blindly in on the assumption that they did not have contingencies in place for just such an attack."
"Brothers, I hear you both," said Cassian, "but I must err on the side of decisive action, for every moment spent away from the Primarch's side is a moment we are failing in our duty. However, I agree that we must determine our foe's true location and strength. That is why we require more eyes on the ground, eyes that I intend to secure now."
So saying, he cut the link to his brothers and began to cycle methodically through Imperial command channels, sending out a rune-coded interrogation to each one. Cassian led his intercessors across a rubble-strewn intersection, stepping around collected pools of oily filth. It had begun to rain, a light, greasy drizzle whose touch Cassian did not trust. Wary of heretical contaminants, he had ordered his brothers to keep their helms on. He ducked through a blackened archway and picked his way through the bombed-out ruin of a hab block. Heaps of remains lay rotting here, the sad remnants of Dustrius's inhabitants, now little more than fly-picked bones. As Cassian emerged into daylight again, he saw the astropathic fortress standing proud on a hilltop in the middle distance. According to his helm's auto-sensors, the structure now lay just a few miles ahead. At the Space Marine's swift pace, they would reach it in less than 20 minutes. If the enemy had not made themselves known by then, he would use the fortress as his base of operations and begin hunting the heretics while he waited for the Indomitus Crusade fleet's response to his astropathic message. Cassian's vox crackled. A coded response came back to him, indicating a secure channel.
"This is Lieutenant Cassian Talasadian of the Ultramarines 4th Company," said Cassian. "Identify yourself in the Emperor's name."
"My lord, it is good to hear your voice," came the reply. "This is Captain Dezansk, Cadian 44th Heavy Infantry."
Cassian heard exhaustion in the man's voice, along with an unhealthy hoarseness, but also steel. Cadian, he thought. They were the most renowned of all the Astra Militarum's countless regiments, and arguably the finest.
"Captain Dezansk, well met," said Cassian. "Appraise me of your disposition."
"I am the surviving ranking officer in the Dustrius Warzone," said Dezansk. "From an initial regimental strength of 5,000 men and 200 armored vehicles, I currently command 822 able-bodied men and women of Cadia, along with 17 Lehman Russ battle tanks and 21 Chimeras. We are operating out of the Temple District, where we have fortified several structures. Ammunition is low, and rations and Medicaid supplies virtually nil. Sickness is rife, and morale has been steadily deteriorating. Though, if I may say so, my lord, your arrival will do much to bring heart to my soldiers."
"How long have you been in the field?" asked Cassian. "And what can you tell me about the enemy here? Strengths, dispositions, capabilities?"
"They attacked 21 days ago," said Dezansk. "Bombarded the city from orbit with viral contaminants and conventional ordnance. We lost over half the regiment during that first attack. I and a few other officers managed to get our troops to the shelters, but the rest... After that, the Death Guard landed a force of, I would estimate, 200 to 300 heretic Astartes, supported by war machines and heavy mobile artillery. General Yorin attempted a counterattack in force, but the contagions the enemy had dropped made the battlefield hazardous. Worse, many citizens and soldiers who fell to their plagues rose up again as revenants and overran our lines."
Cassian frowned, disturbed by the estimated enemy numbers. There were more heretics here than orbital scans suggested.
"The counter-offensive failed utterly, my lord," continued Dezansk. "It cost us at least another 1,000 able bodies, along with Yorin and his entire upper command staff. My men and I have been holding out ever since, attempting to harass the enemy wherever possible, and launching measured attacks to break their besiegement of the astropathic fortress. Thus far, we've met with only defeat. I believe we have endured this long only because the enemy do not fight as a sane man would, instead seeking to draw out our misery for as long as they can."
"You have done what you could, and the Emperor will look kindly upon you for it," said Cassian. "Now, however, he has a different duty for you, Captain."
"Of course, my lord. What are your orders?"
"My brothers and I are pushing towards the astropathic fortress. We must secure it in order to dispatch a message to the Indomitus Crusade. We must rejoin our comrades and free the stars from the rule of chaos."
"A crusade?" asked Dezansk, excitement in his voice. "My lord, we had no idea. We thought, perhaps..."
"That it was the end?" said Cassian. "No, Captain. This is just the beginning of the heretics' final defeat. But in order to play our part in that battle, we must return to our comrades. Aid us in that fight, and the Emperor will smile upon you. Gilliman needs all the warriors he can get."
"Gilliman?"
asked Dezansk, his Cadian discipline slipping for a moment.
"My lord?"
"Our father has returned to us," said Cassian. "There is much to tell, Captain, but it can wait. For now, I need you to mobilize your forces and support our advance.
At once, my lord. Send me your coordinates and I will mobilize the regiment.
Cassian tapped the runes on his vambrace, each one flashing briefly and fading again, as he dispatched the data to the Auspex inload channel Dzansk provided. There was a pause, then Dzansk spoke again, his voice urgent.
My lord, you are well within Death Guard territory. They have maintained their perimeter around the fortress at a remove of between 3 and 5 miles since their siege began. They have some sorcery that shields them from our Auspex. You should have had some engagement by now. If you haven't seen them yet, it's because...
They know we're coming, said Cassian.
Lord Gerlok stood still as a statue on the ground floor of a skeletal ruin. Every inch of his armour was covered with fat-bodied plague flies, whose only movement was a slight riffling of their wings. Blorthos's Blight Lord Terminators stood around him, each with their own coating of bloated insects. Beyond the ruin, Gerlok's forces spread away to either flank, forming a long, deep battle line, utterly carpeted in plague flies. No one moved. The Vox was silent. The ambush was ready. Gerlok saw the first flash of blue armour through the greasy drizzle. A tall, clean-limbed loyalist, different to any he had seen before, picked his way through the ruins as he swept left and right with a long-barreled bolt weapon. Then came another one, and another. The murmuring swarm had concealed Gerlok and his warriors from the enemy's Auspex, but any second now they would make visual contact. It was time.
"In the name of Mortarion and the Grandfather," said Gerlok over the Vox, "begin the attack!"
As one, a billion flies lifted off from the Death Guard warriors and swarmed into the air with a thunderous droning. In the same instant, Gerlok's warriors raised their guns, bellowed gargling war cries, and attacked. Gerlok himself stomped through the crumbled ruins of a low wall, crushing the rubble to dust. Around him, the Blight Lord Terminators opened fire. Their shots blitzed the Ultramarine's front line, bolts sparking from blue power armour and gouts of plague-ridden filth sizzling as they ate through adamantium and ceramite. The Ultramarines responded with commendable speed, and Gerlok was surprised to see just how resilient they were. The warriors took shots to their torsos, helms and limbs, some of which even punched through their armour and blasted bloody craters in their flesh. But they still returned fire, hammering volleys of bolts into their ambushes. Gerlok heard one of the witherlings grunt in pain as a shot found a weak spot in his armour, blowing a bucketful of greasy pus across the walls. Shots spanged off Gerlok's breastplate, and he gave a wet laugh.
"You will have to do better than that, little brothers," he roared. "Your corpse, Emperor, is nothing compared to the might of Nurgle. Come, let me bathe you in the generosity of my god."
Crashing through another wall, Gerlok shrugged off the hammering fire of the nearest Ultramarine and swung his Plague Reaper in a mighty arc. The axe was as tall as a grown man and had 3 buzzsaw blades mounted within its cutting edge, forming the tri-lobed sigil of Nurgle. Those blades howled as they cut through the Ultramarine's chestplate, scything in under his left arm and tearing out under his right. The Ultramarine staggered, blood jetting from the catastrophic wound in his torso. Chuckling, Gerlok levelled his axe and smashed its head like a spear into his enemy's faceplate. Ceramite crumpled, eye lenses shattered, and the butchered Space Marine crashed onto his back. Another Ultramarine's warrior came at Gerlok, hurling a primed crack grenade at him. The implosive charge struck his shoulder and detonated, crumpling rusted armour and tearing through rotten flesh. Gerlok growled in pain as foul fluids and gobbets of fat drizzled from the wound. The Ultramarine pressed forwards, drawing a bolt pistol and firing it point-blank into Gerlok's face. The shot rebounded from his helm, rocking his head back, but the Lord of Contagion rallied with a roar of anger.
"You slopsome little slug," he bellowed. "You think that the sons of Mortarion fall so easily, do you?"
Swatting the Ultramarine's pistol aside, Gerlok grabbed his assailant around the throat and hefted him high. He brought the revving blades of his Plague Reaper up and rammed them into the Ultramarine's midriff, ripping through power armor and churning into the flesh beneath. His victim roared in agony as he was disemboweled, limbs spasming and dancing. The Space Marine managed to ball a fist and drive it into Gerlok's faceplate, once, then twice. The third swing had no strength behind it, and then he was nothing but dead meat. Gerlok tossed his enemy aside, glancing at the wound already sucking closed in his shoulder. Thick tentacles squirmed from his skin and wove together, secreting a slimy gruel that rapidly hardened into chitinous plates. Small yellow eyes rose like blisters upon the unnatural skin, bursting open with little fluid pops. Gerlok laughed and raised his head to the sky, as all around him his warriors pressed home their ambush against the Imperial lapdogs.
"Thank you, great Nurgle," cried Gerlok. "Thank you for your blessings. We offer you tribute in return."
Cassian ducked behind a wall, feeling it shudder as bolt shells slammed into it. Stone shrapnel flew, and flies boiled around him in a blinding cloud. He ducked out from cover, firing his bolt rifle on full auto. His shots slammed into the nearest Plague Marine, blasting a rent in the traitor's chest plate and another in his helm. The Plague Marine staggered, but stayed on his feet and kept firing.
"Emperor, curse their unholy resilience," said Cassian. "Sergeant Gallen, illuminate them, please."
"At once, brother lieutenant," replied Gallen.
From across the courtyard, a salvo of sun-bright plasma slammed into the Plague Marines as Gallen's hellblasters let fly. Volley after searing volley struck home, melting power armor, vaporizing fluids, and blasting diseased flesh to ashes. The Plague Marines died to a man, their fused remains tangled together in a heap.
"Magnificent, brother," said Cassian. "Thank you."
"We do the Primarch's work," said Gallen. "But we will need a moment. Our guns' machine spirits become enraged to excess. They must cool."
"Understood. Fall back and have Sergeant Imastus's Hellblasters take your place. Circle around to Librarian Caratrea's position and reinforce against the push in that sector."
"At once, brother lieutenant," said Gallen,
and his men bore their glowing weapons away towards the rear lines.
"Demetrius," voxed Cassian, "how do you fare?"
"They press hard," came the reply.
Cassian heard the crackle of the chaplain's Crozius Arcanum in the background, and the sounds of rattling bolt fire.
"But we shall not yield. Dreadnought brother Indomiter is holding them back, and I have dispatched squads Tellor and Adamastes to work around the flank and provide enfilading fire."
"We will enfold the edge of their ambushing force and turn their flank," said Cassian. "Then break through with the aggressors. That will allow us to stall their momentum and regain our own."
"Lieutenant," voxed Caratreus, "we've lost one of our repulsors. Onslaught Intractable was struck from both flanks by armor-piercing projectiles. It's a wreck."
"Damn," said Cassian under his breath.
"What of Maximus's Revenge and Pride of Talasar?"
"Both still fighting, brother," said Caratreus. "I've ordered them to pull back and stabilize our line. The enemy advance in dominant numbers, and they simply refuse to die."
"Here too," said Cassian. "I've sent you a squad of Hellblasters to help with that. Demetrius is preparing a counterattack on his flank. We need to hold our ground long enough for him to drive it home."
"Respectfully, I'm not sure that's wise, brother lieutenant," replied Caratreus. "The enemy surprised us. They outnumber and outgun us. Retreat would be the wiser option."
"If Demetrius's attack fails, then I will give the order. But we must try. Duty compels us."
"Wisdom is not cowardice, brother. But I bow to your authority."
Cassian leaned out from cover and fired again, severing a Plague Marine's leg at the knee. He ducked back as ferocious return fire hammered his position.
"Captain Dzansk," he said, switching channels, "are you in position to reinforce?"
"Negative, my lord," replied Dzansk. "Our enemy planned his ambush well. We're dealing with an attack of our own here. If I send forces to your position, I will irreparably weaken my own.
Understood. Hold out. Survive. When we break these heretic curs, we will require your forces for the counterpunch.
Yes, my lord, said Dzansk,
and cut the link. Cassian checked his auspecs and scowled. Death Guard runes swarmed his forward positions, outnumbering his forces by a substantial margin. However, he had his duty, and the blood of Gilliman running through his veins. He was determined that no heretic would defeat him. With a quick flurry of runic commands, Cassian ordered Aggressor Squad's Temeter and Doris forward on the left, and called Intercessor Squad Latreus up to his position. His brothers raised their bolt rifles as he led them out across the courtyard, pouring fire into the plague marines in the ruins on the other side. A sudden scream filled the air, swelling to deafening proportions. Cassian saw shells dropping through the fly-thick air.
Incoming! He yelled. Disperse!
His men leapt to obey, flinging themselves aside as the huge shells crashed down upon the courtyard. They detonated, hurling warriors through the air and throwing Cassian backwards through a stained glass window. He staggered to his feet, ears ringing, and stared through the shattered remains of the window at the slaughter before him. The shells had disgorged swirling clouds of black spores that were dissolving everything they touched. Intercessors writhed and choked as their armour, flesh and bone were eaten away. The ruins themselves began to crumble and dissolve, and the ground tipped as the spores chewed a deep crater in the earth. Cassian scrambled back, diving through an arched doorway as the courtyard and the ruins around it fell away into the pit. He cursed the reckless insanity of his foes, to hurl such inimical munitions into the midst of a point-blank firefight. His fury became horror as he heard the rolling boom of another barrage being fired from behind the Death Guard lines, then another. Huge shells rained down along the Ultramarines line, vomiting fire and spore clouds.
Lieutenant Cassian, voxed Demetris. Squad Teller is all but annihilated, and Sergeant Adamastes is pulling his surviving battle brothers back. We cannot endure in the face of such firepower.
Lieutenant, said Keratreus a moment later, I am doing what I can to shield our brothers with the force of my mind, but those shells are death incarnate. If we don't do something quickly, we're going to be shelled into oblivion.
Brother Lieutenant, voxed Reaver Sergeant Marcus, the enemy are moving industrial track units around the flanks. They're carrying iron cages the size of Thunderhawk gunships. Thrown. They're full of... They're hard to identify. Humanoid, mutant-like characteristics, packed in like livestock and groaning like the damned.
Our enemy mean to pen us in with these creatures and then finish us off with shelling and gunfire, Cassian said, as the artillery boomed again. Primarch, forgive me. This isn't a battle. I've led us into a massacre.